Cross-section cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go for this Monday, the 29th day of August, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. Folks are wandering in even as we speak. You too are welcome to wander in as long as, you know, you can cope with Java. You will be greeted by Anatole, Hoghead, Steve from Georgistan, and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who informs us that using his powers as a third stage guild navigator, he has folded space to make the man cave a truck repair shop for the next couple of days. Yes, yes. So head on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, behave like you know how to behave. And you'll be part of the real-time multimedia madcap Mary Zany extravaganza that is the conversation that takes place alongside this program during the hours it is live. Yes. A quick reminder, this is a listener-supported program. We have no advertisements. And we ended the week, last week, in a hole. And thus, we're looking up to see out this evening. We've got 320 to go because we did have one subscriber over the weekend. Wonderful. A subscription slot remains open in the secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society's 641% Roundup. The next $10 a month subscriber, and we need them badly this time of the month, 29th, 30th, 31st. We need subscribers badly this time of the month, but the first $10 a month subscriber gets your first month subscription rounded up by 641%. Yes, courtesy of Harold, the chairman and CEO, chief cook and bottle washer of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, or SOCTRS, for those of us who have learned to say Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society after having a couple of months of practice at it. At any rate, just go on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute, check that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation, fill in $10 and the rest of the necessary information, except for you can, you know, leave out, what it is you do keeping the mystery machine up and running and how many Scooby snacks a month they pay you to do it. You can leave that blank, but just get to the next screen. And beyond that, as noted, yes, we've got, $320 to raise this evening. To get even, that's $720 to finish out the month of August and, this is important, beat the Swede for the eighth month running. Beating the Swede for the eighth month running is a big deal. You know, that Beat the Swede challenge started in January. We've succeeded in January, February, March, April, May, June, July. And now the question is August. So that's where that stands. $720 to go on the month and $320 to go to get us out of the hole at the end of the evening. Well, thank you, Steve. Steve from Georgia Stances. Cletus said to tell you hi, Bob. Hi, Cletus. Thank you. Thank you. We ended the week $200 in the hole, but Steve, Cletus, and Ms. Karen knocked that down by $50. That's a lot of milk bones. That really is, Cletus. Cletus is a sweet thing. Yes, yes, she's a very good girl. It's a little bit of a rough beginning to the program this evening. Two things: some sad news. Word has reached me that Kelly and Ron's mom has passed on. I had heard about it earlier, but I didn't make it public until I saw that Ron and Kelly had made it public. So, just, you know, an abundance of, at least I hope, respect. But our thoughts go out to Kelly and to Ron and to their siblings on the passing of their mom at age 86. And the news is also accompanied by the word of the passing of Gene Wilder, you know, whose voice is kind of an integral part of at least one broadcast per week here at the Horn, because it just happens to be more in Monday. 83 years old Gene Wilder was, and had suffered for years from the effects of Alzheimer's disease. He kept it quiet because he said he could not stand the thought of there being even one less smile in the world. And God knows he brought many and much laughter. We're awake, but we're very confused. Yes. So, remember both fondly in your thoughts, or however you go about memorializing the passing of those who are dear to others, and thus dear to ourselves as a community. It is. More in Monday on the Horn. And we have a wealth of them. Oh, they are all over the place. Yeah, Marty says, sniff, RIP to Gene Wilder. Yeah. Werewolf. But yes, it's more in Monday on the Horn. And, well, sadness or no sadness, we have work to do. And thus, we call upon the voice of Mr. Gene Wilder, gone, but not forgotten.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land, you know. Morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. That's right, that's right. The Midway will still be there after you get back from wandering over here. It's Moran Monday on the Horn, and behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find Morans more than you can even imagine. We've got them all here, friends and neighbors. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, repiglican Morans, one and all. We've got them, repiglicans, libertarians, what have you, you name it. That you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. For those of you who subscribe to the Horn, it's the biggest bargain off the Midway. Less than 17 cents an hour for each and every hour of programming, and look at what you get. Yes indeed, a gentle warning goes out to those coming in off the Midway. Keep your hands close by. Keep a close hand upon wallets, purses, European-style messenger bags, small children, pets, and yes, even that iguana you won throwing ping-pong balls at fish bowls just a little ways down the midway from where they have the crooked-barreled machine guns that won't ever shoot out the star. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And you will. You really will. Because, well, you know, because Merca. And that we don't manufacture a whole lot in Merca anymore. But we do make more ends. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We make lots and lots of more ends. Where to begin? Where to begin? Well, it's a little bit of a toss-up, but I think we've got it pretty well nailed down. Oh, I didn't do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part, did I? Well, I am. Hi. No, I am Bob. I'm not hi. Okay, just clearing that up a little bit. No, we've got lots of options, lots of opportunities here. And for my money, I think a good starting place might be the sporting world. Shall we do let's? And by the sporting world, I mean the No Fun League, the NFL, where we have a brand new controversy a brewing that is drawing wingnuts out from behind the baseboards like ants to a picnic. But then again, it doesn't. It doesn't take much to do that, does it? No. by the way, in regard to Gene Wilder, Scott in San Diego notes: Gene Wilder dead, and yet Dick Cheney lives. Evil, I will remind you, is a preservative. And so. Now, so to the NFL. By now, you probably know that, Thursday evening during a preseason football game against the Green Bay Packers, San Francisco quarterback, Super Bowl quarterback for San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick, refused to stand during the national anthem. This, of course, is something up with which right-wing media will not put. And oh my God, there has been lots and lots of right-wing media. For his part, Colin Kaepernick said that there was a damn good reason for him not standing for the national anthem. That he was refusing to stand for the national anthem specifically because of the ongoing abuse of people of color in this country at the hands of police. I guess you could say that this is associated to it. I don't think he used the word specifically to Black Lives Matter. But because he was pretty strong in terms of his critique. He said there are police who have murdered black people and who are getting paid leave for it. And that's true. when there's an administrative investigation of a cop who kills anybody, really, during the time that the cop is on leave, it is called paid administrative leave, and yes, the cop continues to draw his or her salary while doing absolutely nothing. It is very easy to look at that situation as a paid vacation. And for all I know, some police officers treat it as such. Maybe they go off to the mountains or the beach, or who knows. But it's not necessarily the paid part that is so galling. It is the fact that so often, as we have noted so many times on this program, the fact that the cops get away with it, even in the face of stunning video evidence. Like, for instance, the fact that there was direct video evidence of Eric Garner being, you know, choked to death. Or the fact that there was direct video evidence of Tamir Rice being gunned down within 2 seconds of the arrival of the police. And Tamir Rice's then being, you know, pretty much ignored to death after the police shot him. Or the video evidence in the aftermath of shootings in Minnesota, Louisiana, Ferguson, Missouri, all coupled with the altogether sadly too predictable reactions of hyper-defensive white folks. All of this went into Colin Kaepernick's decision not to stand for the national anthem, and he says he will continue not to stand for the national anthem. And you know what? I do not have a problem with that. Because, among other things, the national anthem is a pretty odious piece of music. An even more odious lyric. All connected with an absolutely hateful history. Francis Scott Key, you'll recall, is the author of The Star-Spangled Banner, the account of the bombardment of Fort McHenry in Maryland. And Francis Scott Key's reaction upon seeing the flag still flying at Fort McHenry the next morning, indicating that the British had not defeated the American forces there during the War of 1812. Francis Scott Key was said to be so wrought by this that he sat down and read a poem. But it's the backdrop to the poem that he wrote that really gives context to all of this. One, like so many of the powerful in that part of the young country, Francis Scott Key was not just a lawyer, but a slave owner. And he was a particularly noisy advocate for slavery. And what had happened during the War of 1812 is that the British, having gotten rid of slavery themselves, found the American institution odious, and as a military tactic, recruited former slaves from areas that they had liberated already, because frankly, the British kicked our asses all over creation, and let's remember, we more or less kind of started the ground war part of it by invading Canada. Quick rule, don't invade Canada. Canada will hand you your ass, and pretty much has every time that we've gotten all froggy and crossed over up there. Oh, we're going to liberate Canada from the... Well, they didn't want it. So the British had given us a pretty fair workout and along the way had liberated some slaves. And rather than abusing them, they offered them something. Come and fight for the crown against the people who enslaved you, and we'll see to your well-being after it's all over. The British pretty much honored their end of the bargain. They resettled after the War of 1812. They resettled the freed slaves in places like Canada and the Caribbean. And this just annoyed the hell out of racist slave owner Francis Scott Key. And so, you know, there are multiple verses, thank God we don't sing them all, because, you know, wrapped up in this whole controversy is the fact that the Star-Spangled Banner has become a militarized institution, and it's playing at a football game, every football game, every baseball game, every hockey game, every basketball game, is a sort of form of national worship. And in particular, national worship of the military. I mean, let's be clear, we're not singing the national anthem at the front end of a football game for the Peace Corps. So, there are multiple verses. Yeah, the one we sang with the broad stripes and the bright stars and the ramparts and the rocket's red glare. And the next verse and the next verse. It's the third verse where Francis Scott Key really gets his inner Kleagle on. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. See, that hireling and slave is a dig at the freed slaves who said, you know, I'm pretty well willing to fight for my own freedom, and joined up with a British unit that had been coined, a British contingent of the Royal Marines. And they got to fight for their slavery a couple of generations before hundreds of thousands more freed slaves would fight for theirs in the American Civil War. And so in Francis Scott Key's heart, that star-spangled banner that he celebrated in his poem was a banner that protected his white privilege and his ability to own slaves. In the rest of his life, Francis Scott Key would use the power of his position as a lawyer to torment abolitionists. He used position inside the Anglican Church to prevent any social justice urges from arising from the growing abolitionist movement. He openly criticized reporters who would dare report on the thuggery, because it was thuggery, of the constables and the watch of Washington, D.C., who would openly and with impunity rip off free black people of what possessions that they had and threaten them with legal action, Key would. This is the real history of the Star-Spangled Banner. And there's conflict that arises with it. My father got teary-eyed over it every time he heard it. And he would have been furious with Colin Kaepernick, I suppose. And I get teary-eyed over it when I hear it played at a ball game or something because I think of my father. Not because I think of bombs bursting over Fort McHenry in air, but because I think of my father and what he meant to me. But that's the backstory to it all. Colin Kaepernick objects to standing for the national anthem in a time when the national anthem means absolutely nothing for millions of people of color in this country. It is not a land of the free and a home of the brave for the people who Colin Kaepernick had the courage to sit instead of stand. And like I said, this has occasioned hissies. Full on, no doubt about it. Let's see, Alex Boone, a guard on the offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings and former teammate of Colin Kaepernick, and of course the for-profit media had to, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick not standing for our glorious national anthem, land of the free, home of the brave song, Alex Boone? It's hard for me because my brother was a Marine and he lost a lot of friends over there. That flag obviously gives Kaepernick the right to do whatever he wants. I understand it. At the same time, you should have some fucking respect for people who served, especially people that lost their life to protect our freedom. Nothing says respect like putting a participle like fucking in front of it. No, does it, Alex Boone? Abso-damn-tibbly-lutely. You betcha. And he made a point, because he knew the question was coming, that he wore a shirt after the preseason game in which the Vikings beat the Chargers. He wore a shirt with the name of Chris Kyle on it. You know, the psycho that was turned into a hero. The guy who claimed that he went and he shot people for fun after Katrina. They made the movie American Sniper about him. Yeah, that Chris Kyle. Lots and lots of crazy out there, but for me, well, you can't beat Fox when it comes to jingoistic bullshit, fake patriotism. And this is this story is no different from any other. So Brian Kilmeade has a radio show. I don't know why, except perhaps that somebody at Fox thinks that he just doesn't get to share enough stupid while he's on the TV in the mornings. So some booker there with the Brian Kilmeade on the radio, Kilmeade and Friends, I guess is what it's called. It was today. Some booker there called up Joe Theismann to discuss what a heathen Colin Kaepernick is. And Joe Theismann, well, okay, but the real cherry on the whipped shit comes courtesy of Kilmeade. Get the hockey puck.
It does. You're right. I mean, like I said, the flag stands for a lot of things in this country. It stands for the men and women that have sacrificed their lives so that we have this freedom.
In 1814, it stood for slavery, just saying.
It stands for the firemen and the policemen. And it stands for the every person that goes to work every day. All those people that fill the stands where Colin Kaepernick plays, they don't make anywhere near the kind of money that he makes, but they're willing to shell out to go out and support him so that he can receive a paycheck.
Because capitalism. That flag stands for capitalism, by God. I mean, Joe Theismann's not quite sharp enough to put it in those terms, but that's what he just said. The flag stands for everybody. It stands for you. It stands for me. Yeah, I'm not so sure. Did that flag stand for Muhammad Ali when he said, "Ain't no Viet Cong never called me"? Did that flag stand for the people who were calling Muhammad Ali that word? Yes. Did that flag stand for George Wallace as he stood in the schoolhouse door? Yes. Did that flag stand for Lieutenant Calley as he participated in and fomented the massacre at My Lai? Huh? Did that flag stand for us when illegal white phosphorus munitions were used on Fallujah? Hmm? That's a thorny path you're going down there, Joe Theismann. But, you know, let's let him.
I mean, you really have to take a step back. And this is something that you and I and anybody that does media work understands. You really have to understand what you're saying and how it is going to affect a lot of different areas of your life and the lives of others. Like I said, he has the right to be able to do the things that he does. But that flag, I think, represents the right that he has to do it. And yet you don't like it.
Hey, Joe, from a pure football standpoint, there's an excellent chance he can get cut, right?
I doubt it. I really do. I mean, if he did get cut, he's the second best quarterback on that football team, and you have to have at least three. You know that, Bri. So I would be very surprised if it would cut. Plus, don't remember, there's a difference between perception and reality. Society today is so much about perception. The reality gets lost in what's going on. It's like the things that are happening with Hillary Clinton, Mrs. Clinton. The reality, I don't...
What, huh? Hillary Clinton? Really? He went there? He did. Perception versus reality. Hillary Clinton. God, he Joe Theismann, human pretzel. Hillary Clinton. I guess Hillary Clinton made Colin Kaepernick hate the flag because Benghazi, Vince Foster. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Yes, as Jeremy in Vermont points out, that flag gives so-called freedom to allow disagreement and not to stand or pledge allegiance to a symbol. You know, it's worth noting that it was all the way back in the 1940s when a case out of West Virginia went all the way to the Supreme Court that said, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have to stand and pledge allegiance. Constitutional right, freedom of religion. So does that mean that if Colin Kaepernick had simply said, my religion prevents me from standing, that this would be a non-issue? Well, kind of, because let's remember, the religion, the First Amendment is no longer anything but a life support system for the religion industry. And as Arthur points out from the chat room, yes, Michael Phelps was laughing while he received his medal. And the right wing? Yeah, crickets. Not so much. Yeah. Thank you. Labor man clarifying things in the chat room a little bit. Joe Turdman is a Jagoff. I concur.
I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. The reality is there's a lot of things that haven't gone properly in that area.
And that's still Hillary Clinton that he's on there. Hey, quick question. If Joe Theismann participates in, say, a community theater play, is it okay to tell him to break a leg before he goes on stage?
Phew.
I'll go to hell for that.
You can't just stick your head in the sand. But from a perception standpoint, you can say, oh, it's somebody else just trying to create negative publicity. So it's, you know, I mean, in Cullen's case, I think from an athletic standpoint, he's a very talented quarterback. A lot of the circumstances and situations that have occurred in San Francisco have not necessarily been his fault.
Well, that's just mighty decent of you, Joe. I mean, he's not in charge of hiring or firing the coach. He does not go out and play one man against 11 every Sunday. I mean, damn. I mean, charitable soul, that Joe Theismann. But we're still not there. Still not there. Brian Kilmeade, like I said, is going to provide the derp de gras, or the coup de derp, whatever you want to call it.
The offense has lost a lot of great players. The defense has lost them through injury and retirement. You've had coaching changes. So there's a lot of things that have affected his position that he has no control over. Yet he suffers the consequence of winding up really being a guy under scrutiny and people saying, well, he can't really play. I think he can play. I just think it's a question of being able to find some stability again. So from a quarterback perspective, Colin Kaepernick can play football, and I would assume will remain a member of the San Francisco
49ers. Well, I trust you.
Now, here's one thing.
You break down film and everything, but I will say this. He's never had a great touch on his passes, medium and short, and he's been...
Really? We're going to go back to the old Rush Limbaugh, there are no great black quarterbacks thing? Well, sure, why not? I mean, nostalgia. It's, yeah, awesome. Well, see, Marty, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Marty writes and says, I haven't stood for the national anthem at any event since December 2000. I try to stay on the concourse during the playing of the anthem. Yeah, thank you for the correction there in the chat room, Hoghead. Yeah, Hoghead remembers. Don't put the hockey puck away. Don't do it.
Has to have to win games as opposed to just, you know, do more than just run with the ball.
But
correct?
He's a young guy, Bri. He's a young guy still learning. Our business is one of continual learning. As a matter of fact, the NBA has a policy that all players must stand during the national anthem. The National Football League does not.
I respect so much the
NBA also has certain policies that I think the National Football League ought to consider adopting. So, you know, I mean, there's different policies and different.
Wow, that's neat. In the NBA, a condition of a condition precedent to employment is one's willingness to stand during what is essentially a semi-religious hymn to the state. Wow, that's not even a little bit fascist, is it? No, it's a lot.
Different leagues. I applaud Carmelo Anthony for standing up for what he believes in, but yet representing the country that he believes in.
And lastly, just a pure football question. Stunning news in Dallas. One of the great guys in this league, Tony Romo, after coming off a season riddled with injuries, he fractures his vertebrae on the first play in preseason.
Yeah, that guy's snake bit.
He should retire because life after football, he will have a life after football. He's placing himself in harm's way. We haven't even dealt with the fact that you're going to fall on that collarbone again. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to fall. In all likelihood, something may happen again. This is a recurring back issue. Tony has proven that he's a great competitor, a true warrior in this game. I mean, he's one of the toughest son of a guns that's ever put on a uniform. But in my opinion, it's time for him to say, I can't do it anymore. I start to put my family and my life at risk. And I'll tell you something. Dak Prescott, the young kid that's going to play for them, he's a heck of a football player. He really is. So I think the Cowboys are in...
Wait for it.
Unfortunately, I say this as being part of the division in the NFC East. I think they're in good hands going forward, but I believe it's time for Tony to think about life after the game.
Wow. I'm sure that's crossed his mind, but for a quarterback that was forced from the game for injury, that goes a lot further than just a commentator saying that. Or
you don't want to leave. I know Brett Favre continued to go from team to team. Jerry Rice went from team to team. I'm a competition junkie. You know, that's who we are. It's what makes you. It allows you to play at a certain level. And to say I have to give it up, that's why I look at somebody like Walter Payton or Barry Sanders that have walked away from the game. Tremendous admiration for those men to make that decision. Jim Brown.
Yeah. Could it be that they had internal lives, that they were not entirely defined by their relationship to a game? Huh? Yeah, I know. But sure. I can't wait anymore. The best part of this whole clip, the hockey puck part of the whole clip, and as you see, it's kind of a lengthy clip. Theismann says, this country that he doesn't respect by sitting down the national anthem has afforded him an opportunity in life that I don't know many other countries that would. He doesn't know many other countries. Because not everybody plays professional sports for free out there in the rest of the world that don't got no freedom nor freedom protectors. Mm-hmm. But it was this moment. To that statement, Brian Kilmeade responds, and let's be honest, he was adopted by two white parents. He was well supported. Whoop! Mm-hmm. You know, can we take a moment, even though it's not Wednesday or nothing, and just address that? He was adopted by two white parents, so it's not like he wasn't well supported. Well, the opposite of that, therefore, is that if he had been raised by two black parents, he would not have been well supported. You know, the Trump view. Oh, God. 6:42 p.m. We made it 42 minutes without mentioning Donald Trump. Good on us. There's that, but then, you know, those of you familiar with Joseph Campbell and the Hero of a Thousand Faces might have picked up on it too. The implication being that somehow or another, Colin Kaepernick is found wanting for authenticity because he was raised all white-like, and that's what made it possible for him to go to a good school and be a good sought-out high school quarterback and get a scholarship to college where he excelled and eventually winds up, you know, in San Francisco playing quarterback for lots of money because he was well-supported because he was raised by two white parents, and therefore he ought to side with the white wing in this country. Time out. Moses. Because when I heard the clip earlier and I saw that, heard and saw that line, that's who I thought of. Moses. Moses, Moses, Moses. Who is this Moses? I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. No. Because Moses is one of those archetypal mythic heroes. And in this particular instance, the Moses analogy is particularly good because Moses has everything. It's what makes the Moses story so compelling. Moses isn't raised as an oppressed Hebrew. He is one. Remember, he gets all borned, and they put him, and Mama puts him in a basket and hides him in the bull rushers. Mm-hmm. Where he's later found by a princess of Egypt, the land of Kem. And he is raised as a foundling young Egyptian prince, with everything that goes with being a young Egyptian prince, which was just about as good a living and an upbringing as you could have in that point in time in the world. We are, for a moment, treating Moses as an actual historical figure instead of, you know, a mythic character for purposes of the discussion. But Moses, somehow or another, figures out he's different. And he clues into his Hebrew heritage. And he sees the cruelty levied upon and inflicted upon the children of Israel in bondage in the land of Egypt. Being forced to do slave labor in that great land. Now, let's bear in mind, of course, that there is no actual historical evidence that any of this ever happened. But it makes for a great origin myth. And so Moses begins to get in touch with his Hebrew heritage. And the next thing you know, he's killing an Egyptian overseer, and well, he doesn't get to be a magnificent prince of the land of Egypt anymore, and he has to go and, you know, live with his original people, and then there's stands around in the desert talking to shrubberies and things like that, catches fire, and he goes and he gives Yul Brynner a hard time. Well, it's kind of the same thing. Colin Kaepernick had the upbringing of a well-to-do white child. All the privileges, all of that. But all of that privilege cannot overcome the oppression and the brutality that he sees in this country. And so he speaks out. He exhibits more courage than probably the entire NFL taken together. And it is a commentary in and of itself upon our time that refusing to participate in a nationalistic frenzy is a hallmark of courage. Arthur writes, could it be, Brother Bob, that the right wing has a cottage industry in fake controversies, fake crises, and fake outrage? Oh, I think I do. I think there could be. And, you know, the National Football League has become more militaristic, more fascistic, more nationalistic over time, not less. Because the nature of the relationship between the NFL and broadcast and the military is nothing if not incestuous. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in time, Colin Kaepernick's life is not threatened and put in jeopardy. Because that's how we celebrate freedom in Merca. But it wasn't just Brian Kilmeade. Oh, no. No, no. This is Moran Monday. And what would Moran Monday be without a little dose from the life support system for a haircut? Well, that's true. Jeremy in Vermont noting, Moses may have had the very first mic drop going on with God and thunder and lightning and all that stone tablet smashing and all. True enough. Now, Sean Hannity has an explanation for why Colin Kaepernick won't stand for the national anthem. In case you put away the hockey puck, get it back real quick. Pull out a couple extra strips of duct tape because you're liable to just and shoot it right across the room. Maybe break a window. I don't know. But hang on tight. You know why Colin Kaepernick? You know why Colin Kaepernick won't stand for the national anthem? Because Muslim.
By the way, what's your take on Kaepernick? I mean, I guess he can insult America, and we're free to insult him.
Yeah, look, to me, he's a third-string quarterback, and I don't really think much about Kaepernick. I mean, I'll be a little more intrigued by the story. If he was still that star player, would there be this kind of outcry? I mean, the people are burning his jerseys. These are the same people that rooted for him a couple of years ago, and because he stinks,
you know what this guy is? He's a spoiled brat, out of touch, super rich athlete. He in his own life has suffered no oppression. He's free to share all the money that he wants. He lives in the greatest nation on earth. You know, this is a nation that has overcome slavery.
Oh, we've overcome it. Okay. So can we stop singing the song about celebrating the death of slaves? Yeah, I guess not. Oh, and by the way, Colin Kaepernick is not entitled to an opinion, apparently, according to the life support system for a haircut, because he's wealthy and has not been sufficiently oppressed. Well, that's just going to give Sean Hannity's listeners a reason to wish they could give him a little bit of a present. Wouldn't that be special? But oddly enough, being poor, according to the life support system for the haircut, being poor doesn't do very much for entitling people to express their First Amendment rights in talking about how, you know, disproportionately people of color are routinely oppressed, repressed, shot, you know, killed by police in this country. Being that, he's just poor, but he must hate America because he's poor and black and poor. So poor, which of course calls to mind, because college football season's coming and sooner or later I'll have to hear his voice, recalls to mind the immortal words of, wait, that wasn't Brett Musburger, was it? No. Who was it? Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. But anyway, it just occurred to me. Oh, yeah. How could I forget? No. It wasn't Brett Musburger. Brett Musburger's the perv who perved all over A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. I got a different... No. So poor, so black, Wolf Blitzer. Yes. But do continue on with your erudition there, Sean, old boy.
Overcome evil and injustice, righted wrongs, you know, the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, all these people that marched with Martin Luther King Jr. and made the country a better place. This country fought a civil war in part over slavery.
Notice it's only in part. In part over slavery. He's got to keep pandering to the Confederates out there, doesn't he? Yes, of course he does.
You know, so this is a country that beat back fascism, Nazism, Imperial Japan, and communism, but he sees no good in it. It's like Michelle Obama's coming for the first time.
Yeah, see, that's not true. It's not to say he sees no good in it. In fact, he gave an interview where he said, you know, I've got friends who served in the military. And he did the obligatory thing. I revere the military. I honor the military, but not a court. No, But now we're just like Brian Kilmeade and Joe Theismann had to go off on Hillary Clinton. Now we're going to get us some Michelle Obama.
In my adult life, I'm proud of my country because my husband is going to be elected president.
Somebody who's made over $100 million to talk about being oppressed. I'll give him
that's not the society he lives in. He lives in a place that should be praised for overcoming its wrongs and injustices and having the freedom for its people to rise up for the better and change the country because of a system put in place by our framers and our founders. But that doesn't fit his little, you know.
A system put in place by our framers and our founders. You mean the ones that said, you know, like three-fifths of a human being, those framers, those founders? Yeah, no. God damn, the stupid. These right-wing asshats. Oh, wow. But it's gonna get better. Because there's a reason. There's always a reason.
Socially fashionable and relevant and melodramatic pretense that he has out there, you know, his version of, I guess, the March on Selma, $128 million March on Selma.
Look, if he wants to bring attention to racial inequality, fine. I have no problem with
that.
He's
a pamper.
Oh, good. Whoever that other voice is has no problem with that. A couple of white guys just sitting around rapping, right?
Bench warmer.
Yeah. I get what you're saying and all that, but if you're going to make that kind of money and talk about racial inequality, do something with that $100 million.
And by the way, you know this guy?
Sit for a national anthem.
He acts like he's standing up for Black Lives Matter. There was one, I don't know, I've never been able to confirm this. I looked earlier today that he might have converted to Islam in the off season. Did you see that?
Yeah, because, you know, no good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian would ever not stand up for the national anthem. Must be because he's a Muslim. God damn it. I think at this point we're going to take a break. Never mind the fact that there is not a lick of truth to it. They just need to make him a Muslim so that they can't sort out how it is you could have a whole bunch of millions of dollars and still have a conscience. Yeah, because, you know, once you've got some millions of dollars, you're supposed to give up that conscience and trade it in for maybe a Bentley. Or a plane or some stuff. I mean, just look at Sean Hannity. He's got some millions of dollars, and he ain't got no conscience. See how it works? And you're not supposed to be bothered when people of color get gunned down by the police and are left to bleed out in the middle of the street in the August heat. In a place like Missouri, or get choked to death on the streets in New York by the police, or get blown away in Cleveland, Ohio, or Minnesota, or, you know, Baton Rouge, or all the myriad other places. North Charleston, South Carolina, or Charleston, South Carolina, only that wasn't a cop, that was just, you know, that was just a Klansman, you know, Nazi wannabe. Yeah, Muslim. Yeah, that's because, see, Muslims won't stand. Ain't no Muslim never stood for the national anthem. Not a one. Never. Because it's against Sharia law. And on the as we go out, I'm going to put the Colin Kaepernick story aside. And share with you a note coming from our buddy Rico in Pittsburgh. Rico is going through a hard time of it. Rico wrote and said, my partner James of 25 years is in critical condition and might not make it due to a lung condition. Could you possibly play Don McLean's Chain Lightning, which is the song we danced to at our wedding? We were officially married in February at one of your breaks. I'm putting a $25 donation in honor of him, and if anybody else wants to match it, that would be nice. I love you and your show and the whole Horn family community. James is a professional dancer. And at the ethereal verse of the song I mentioned that begins, the Indians tell us that Phoenix can rise. James did the most amazing interpretive dance and fell into my arms at the end at our wedding. God, Bob, I love him so. Please let everyone know that they can honor this beautiful man by donating to the Horn. It would mean so much. Those, and I'm happy to do it, and I would be just as happy to do it without the challenge or without the contribution. Moments like that, when our community opens up to each other to share its triumphs, its sorrows, its joy, its grief, that's a big part of what this community is and is designed to be. So yes, with pleasure, Rico, and with the most fervent and hope-filled thoughts that your beloved James will weather this storm and be back home with you. That is the hope. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sometimes when I'm thinking that love's not around, my heart begins sinking. I don't hear a sound, and the world is in blackness. No light shines on me. I suffer no blindness. No one can I see. Then a flash from the heavens, like a loud jagged wire, and the silence is broken, and the night is on fire. It's like chain lightning, this love that I feel. Who knows where it strikes, or when it will hit, how long it will last, or when it will quit. In the forest blast, the fever is churning, and the heat rises fast, and those standing nearest that they too will burn. They fuse for their lives, for death will soon dwell in the warmth of your love, is the fire of hell. It's like chain lightning, this love that I feel. Who knows where it strikes or when it will hit, how long it will last, or sparks scatter, and the wind whips the flame, for love will soon shatter what it cannot tame, and the cycle continues. With the fire of lust, and I hear the explosion. A thunder rain, the water is falling, the ashes remain. Chain lightning, this love that I feel. Who knows where it strikes or when it will hit, how long it will last, or smoldering ashes that once were my eyes, and watch beautiful colors from black and from gray be formed into wings, and then take me away where evil is darkness and goodness is light, and love is the lightning that cuts through the night. Only once in a darksome time, and forms a bold stairway that all of us climb.
I can see why that song holds so much meaning for Rico. Rico, please know, as Jenny noted. Love to Rico. And as Carol Baker said, I was crying by the time you got done with Rico's letter. Send him my love. Indeed, and that of all of us, that of all of us. It is about 9 minutes past the hour, and let's run over to the Skype line where I think Tracy's waiting. Is that you, Tracy?
So, okay, let me get this straight.
Yes.
Hi, Bob. Let me just start with that. So, because he was raised by white people,
yes. Yes. Yes.
And, you know, we eradicated slavery and all that. Slavery went from, you know, slavery to Jim Crow to the prison industrial complex to now.
Yep. To just, you know, not even worth talking about anymore. Don't know what he's so upset about.
I tuned in just in time to hear. First of all, I thought Joe Biden's name was dead, to tell you the truth. That shows you how much I care about sports. But these people who, I put an article on the Horn family's page about white folks policing our emotions. And telling us how we should feel about, you know, systemic racism, institutionalized racism, how African Americans, how black folks and brown folks make up the majority of the prison population when we are at some point in this country less than 13% of the entire population in the United States, but we make up almost, 54% of the prison population?
Thereabouts.
Okay. But, you know, he had privilege. So, you know, and I love the Moses analogy because I had, you know, there's those things that you forget about from Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you think about...
Oh, it's burned deep into me. I'm sorry.
Well... Oh, no, it's not so much I forgot about it. It's just the fact how the significance of how you put it. And it's like, you know, the fact that there was something inside of him that said, and even if he wasn't Hebrew, you know, there was that, you know, he had that reality of like, why are we treating these people like this? But it made it even more so when he realized that he was actually Hebrew. And he's like, oh, hell nah. You know, I have to give my props to my man Colin, because that makes it even more significant that he said, yeah, so, yes, I'm pretty sure he has to do, I have no idea what kind of relationship he had with his parents, but apparently they raised him right.
It would appear they raised him with a conscience.
With a conscience.
And you know, what you just touched on there, Tracy, is quite valuable, really. Because the presumption on the part of the likes of the life support system for a haircut is that his good white parents would never have raised him not to stand up for or to sit down during the national anthem.
Exactly. I hopefully, I don't know, like I said, I don't know what kind of people his parents are or if they're even still alive, but I would love it. If this is true, you know, this might be pure conjecture that we're just, you know, hoping that that's how his parents raised him. But I hope they did, and I hope that one of them called Sean and said, look at here. We raised our son to be his own person.
That's the thing. I look at something like that and looks to me like he was raised right.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I remember a couple of years ago, he was kind of Jesus-y, you know, pointing at the sky and stuff like that and thanking his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I guess that's all by the boards now. He's just a third string quarterback.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. Ugh. They just can't. It's just, they just can't help themselves, can they? It's just, you have to degrade and denigrate us just because I don't agree. Like, okay, for today, just, you know, just the stupid stuff. I'm tired of people. It wasn't that bad, but there's a picture that I posted. It said, you know, Donald Trump's doctor says that if he's elected, he'll be the fittest or the healthiest man ever elected, right? And there's a picture of Donald Trump's backside swinging a golf club. And then next to the picture is our president.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
No shirt off.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, well, nobody, you know, he wasn't the fittest. I'm like, did I, anyway, and normally I don't say anything to people, but it's like, and I'm just tired. And I'm like, does it say that Obama was the fittest? Did it anywhere in that
no.
say that Obama was the fittest? Did it? It did not. And then, well, Bush was runs me. I don't give a flying fig about Bush. I keep trying to tell people I don't care about Republicans. I don't
at all.
Care at all. Because they could give a damn about me. Or anybody that looks like me. So, the fact that I don't care. So that's what I wanted to do. That I wrote, did it say anywhere that Obama was the fittest president or the healthiest president? No, it did not. It's just a picture of him with his shirt off and a picture of D-Rump.
People.
I'm sorry. Do you really want to see Donald Trump without a shirt? I know that you want to see his wife. Oh, wait.
Well, no, we've already seen that thing.
We've already seen that.
Nothing left of the imagination, really.
No. I was like, holy.
You know, that's one of those ironies of this campaign, and God knows we're all sick to death of it. But in every previous campaign, Bob Guccione's out there going, you know, putting out $1 million bounty on naked pictures of Sarah Palin or naked pictures of Mrs. Romney and her horse or whatever. Well, they stole, you know, that's another thing that got lost in all of this. The quadrennial Bob Guccione $1 million bounty on naked right wing women is gone, because you know she did it for money already.
Right.
But they were really tasteful. They were extremely tasteful. Definitely. Oh, they were beautifully tasteful.
What?
Well, you heard me. I didn't stutter much.
Now, I have a question.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I don't even think, you know, now, we can see every part of, what's that chick's name? I say the fair name.
Oh, you talking about melanoma?
Melanoma. Melanoma Trump.
Yes.
You know, now, I can't even think, is there even a picture of Michelle Obama in as much as a bathing suit?
No, but she wore sleeveless dresses, damn it, and that shows she ain't got right. No respect for the presidency.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Big mistake there. Thank you. Thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, this evening's fact-checking department. I didn't mean Bob Guccione. I meant Larry Flint. So thank
Larry
you.
Flint. Is Bob Guccione even still alive?
I don't know. Don't know, don't care. Apparently Larry Flint is, though.
Yeah, now.
Hey, I got a question I got a question for you, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
When are you moving to the heartland?
Do you mean the heartland of California?
No, the heartland of America.
When, I don't know,
know, Kansas, Iowa, Talibandiana, you have to, you know.
And why is that? Please do tell, pray tell, Sir Bob.
Are we at home chopping vegetables for a salad?
No, we're driving, but you know, I got my Bluetooth in, and I have a firm grip on the wheel.
Okay, so you got to move to the heartland because the Obama administration has a diabolical plot to replace good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Republican-voting, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Merkins with lesbians.
Shut the front door.
That is true. Rush Limbaugh done said it. The Department.
Where would I get my patchouli?
The Obama Administration Department of Agriculture done has a LGBT outreach program. And they held their 15th annual. That's how long it's been going on. It's like Sharia law or something. It was all under the radar. Something like their 15th annual Lesbian Farmer Summit. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Rush Limbaugh done fired up his golden EIB microphone, and he said, "My friends, here comes the Obama regime with a bunch of federal money, and they're waving it around, and all you got to do to get it is be a lesbian and want to be a farmer, and they'll set you up. I'm like you. I never before in my life knew that lesbians wanted to be farmers. I never knew that lesbians wanted to get behind the horse and the plow and start burrowing." Really? Burrowing? Burrowing, Rush? Plowing? Burrowing. Burrowing. Farmers burrow. Yes. I never knew it. The objective here is to attack rural states. They're already attacking suburbs, and that's been made perfectly clear by what happened in Milwaukee. They're going after every geographic region that's known to be largely conservative. They never stop, folks. They are constantly on the march.
For real, though? I didn't know lesbians had it like that.
Well, I mean, there are gay people in the country. I mean, it's just true. Can't be helped. There's pretty much gay people, you know, everywhere.
Everywhere.
But according to Rush Limbaugh, it's all a devious plot to, I guess, ethnically cleanse the heartland of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, heterosexuals, and replace them with lesbians. So that's why I asked you when you're moving to the heartland. You and Jan, you know. I reckon you can probably take Alex with you. I don't know what Tim's going to do for a spare bedroom now. But you got to... Sorry. I mean, I know you like California and everything, Tracy, but you got to go.
Yeah.
You are being called upon by your president to do your patriotic duty and move to Muskrat Rectum, Nebraska.
I can't even wrap my head around the foolishness that I just first see this. Wow. See, you have rendered me speechless.
Well, I mean, I try to be a responsible host and make sure that you're not doing anything dangerous, like, you know, careening at 115 miles an hour down the HOV lane on the 5 or anything like that. But I don't want you to make a terrible mistake and not do your patriotic duty by your Kenyan Muslim usurper president.
We can't have nice things.
Well, it turns out that, and you'll appreciate this, Limbaugh continued and said, "Here comes the Obama regime with a bunch of federal money, and they're waving it around, and all you got to do to get it is be a lesbian and want to be a farmer, and they'll set you up. I'm like you. I never before in my life knew that what lesbians wanted to be farmers." Burrowing. Again with the burrowing. A woman by the name of Catherine Lounsbury has gotten started on Lesbian Farmer, the musical. Are you ready for this?
Is that what that was about? I saw a posting.
So everybody did. It's gonna be. This is gonna be the next big thing. I mean, get out of the way, Hamilton. Lesbian Farmer is on its way to Broadway.
Oh my God.
I know.
I was wondering what that was about. I was wondering because I saw it and you know how things flash on your Facebook page, and I kind of glanced at it and I didn't pay much more attention to it because, you know, I'm still dealing with Jeremy recovering. So, do you have any outtakes or any music?
Well, I do. I'm trying to get it queued up now because I know for a fact that you and Jan are not the only lesbians in the audience. And so I mean people need to understand that there's big doings afoot.
I don't even like overalls. So what am I supposed to do?
Right. Well, I just want to report back on the burrowing.
See, I have a hoe, and I do have, because I'm...
Jan does not like it when you talk like that.
I know. And I'm attempting to get the garden ready for, planting, because every time I think about it, it's just so damn hot that I'm like, if I put anything outside, it's just going to burn up. So I haven't planted anything yet. Besides, I've never had a garden. So I'm really in no rush to do anything, to say the truth. But I know I'm eventually going to get it done. So I don't burrow. I'm not a mongoose or a rabbit or any other thing that burrows. And I was going to say something terrible, but I'm not. I'm going to be good. But Jesus, where do they come? Do they sit in the smoke-filled room? And where did they come up with this crap?
I blame it on opioids.
Yeah. That is probably the best explanation because after that I got nothing.
Okay, let's see if it works this time. Let's see if the magic works this time. Lesbian Farmers, the musical.
I'd like to call to order the 15th annual nationwide LGBT World Summit. Rush Limbaugh to us, because we are taking over.
I don't know about you, but I can't wait.
I cannot. I'm almost like, you know, forget Hamilton. I'll be a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Burrowing. Burrowing lesbian farmers.
These people, you know, Bob, again, I have to give you the biggest kind of props in the world, because people like you and Carol Baker and all that, you actually listen to all this stuff. So you can disseminate it and kind of clean it up and make it, you know, almost sort of kind of tolerable for us to listen to. You take a bullet for us. You know, talking about taking one for the team, but it's just, I don't know how you do it, Bob. I don't, because...
Well, I don't know how much longer I can do it, Tracy, because it's a little known. I mean, everybody knows about the EpiPen now, but nobody knows about how much the price of Thorazine darts have gone up. I mean, I read this stuff, I play this stuff, and then, you know, Agnes just sneaks around the corner with the blowgun and that refreshing burst of flavor just courses through my veins. And and Agnes says, "Are you ready? Are you ready for your nap now, Bob?" "Yes, dear, I'm ready." Until it's time to hot up the mic again. But the price of those Thorazine darts are going through the roof.
Speaking of, you know, I'm
going to
give you a reason to have another dart. I don't know if you heard about how, you know, out here we have a lot of, you know, grocery store graveyards where there's like no grave, you know, no grocery stores for miles in certain communities. And so for a while there was Walmart, you know, like in South Central, and there was one in Chinatown and all this, right? But they recently closed them, and I'm like thinking, ooh, is Walmart going out of business? No. Because I just drove by, I didn't even know it, because I haven't really been in Burbank, and I'm flying down the 5 as we speak, driving on my way to Lakewood, and they just opened this big old Supercenter Walmart in Burbank, which, if anybody knows, you know, well, you know, beautiful downtown Burbank. Johnny, how many years did Johnny Carson talk about it and then Jay Leno?
Absolutely, and then, you know, go to the Schlossen and cut off and get out of the car and cut off your Schlossen, sure.
Right. So it's like, when I saw that, I mean, as much as I despise Walmart, at least, you know, in certain neighborhoods, they had some chance of getting some kind of decent nutrition. But yeah, the only ones that they closed were in the poorer neighborhoods. Go figure. So yeah, that was my, I am fortunate because I live in a neighborhood where I don't have to shop. I mean, I'll pay extra money. I'll go to Target before I go to Walmart. I mean, unless there's just, it just sickens me when I think about, and unfortunately for some people, they don't have a choice.
I'm lucky. Where I live, I've still got a choice. I got Kroger's and I got Wally World. But that's where groceries are concerned. Now, if I want a skillet or a new paring knife or a vegetable peeler or a kerosene heater, but not a box fan, damn it, not a box fan. Oh hell no! I got to go to Wally World.
They didn't have box fans at Wally World.
You know, we've had an ugly, humid, hot snap. Augusts are hard here in Appalachia, Stan. The air gets kind of close and squishy. And so the other night...
Oh, we're right in the middle of triple digits right now.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
98.
It's a dry heat, right?
It's hot, Bob.
Diff.
No, it's hot.
Stop
and
it. So, anyway, so Agnes says, go get a box fan. And I hear and obey. And so I have no choice but to go into Wally World
And I chased down an associate because it's like some sort of Newtonian physics. All Wally World associates are always moving away from you.
From where you need them to be.
Or, you know, you got to chase them down. So I finally caught one, and I said, box fan, need. And he said,
please.
Oh, those have been put away for the season. There's not a one.
Wait. Put away?
Yeah. I said, so, like, there's one in the back you could get? Uh-uh. No box fan. So I texted back to Agnes. I said, no box fans. She says, any kind of fans? I said, no fans.
See, out here we have the issue of not so much not having fans, but running out. Because when we had that last, when my air conditioning had a, how dare I talk about air conditioning, but our air conditioner went out like the day before my birthday party.
Yeah.
And it was bedlam. And so, like I said, we were in the middle of a horrible heat wave, triple digit heat. And so I go to, where did I go? Home Depot, Home Depot.
Yeah, see, so we've got a Lowe's, but Lowe's was closed by then.
Of course it was. And so, of course, they were sold out. See, that's the thing about California. Or I could get a fan year-round because I live in California. So basically you're telling me that I probably could have sent you a fan. Why did you just call? I could have sent you a fan, Bob.
Well, and as Carol Baker points out, sure, there were no fans, but did she want some Christmas lights? Because they got lots of Christmas lights. And I could have gotten her a Viking Warrior Princess Halloween costume, too.
Okay.
Because we definitely got definitely Halloween.
Yeah, we got Halloween stuff. I mean,
and they got the kerosene heaters, and the electric space heaters all out. That's yeah.
And what was today's temperature around, Bob?
Today's high temperature here in Appalachistan was 86.
Okay. And they talk about freaking.
And the humidity was like a million.
And we're talking about space heaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I understand. I mean, but see, this is when you gotta kind of balance out with this is one of those reasons why I'm so happy I no longer work in retail, Bob. Because like I used to work at Villa's Outpost, which various and sundry different places, and it would be 1,000 degrees in July. And we're busting out the fall stuff. And I'm like, if I have to even look at a sweater, I'm going to kill somebody. It is inconceivable how you're selling me these silly hot-ass clothes when you would make a hell of a lot more money if I could find a tank top and a pair of shorts and a pair of flip-flops. I would love you forever. But no, we got to get the, like you said, the Christmas lights out already. It's like, Jesus, when is September start? When?
Well, see, I was, and to be honest, I was waiting for Labor Day and the big sale, and I was going to pick up that offset firebox smoker. Nah, it's gone. Just
right.
Gone.
Labor Day is officially the end of the summer. Where all that summer stuff, is gone. If that's when it all goes on sale, final markdown. That's meticulous because we're always looking for stuff for the party, July, and they were already putting out fall stuff, but I'm like, it's still July. You don't think, in every place that I went, except for Lowe's, because, Lowe's has outdoor furniture year round. But Lowe's is high as hell, too.
Mm-hmm. You noticed that too, though. I mean, it's not just me.
No, I mean, between,
15, 25% difference between Wally World and Lowe's. Absolutely.
And we don't have no Home Depot or anything like that. Oh, by the way, you got a note.
Home Depot.
You got a note coming in from Steve in New York. Subject line: Tracy moving to the heartland. Oh, we can't forget. It's a double whammy because Tracy is an African American lesbian, so it's like two for one.
Yes, yeah, a twofer. It's a twofer.
Yep.
Tracy,
stand not upon the order if you're going, but go at once.
Look, you know what? As much as I appreciate that he's going to, you know, set me.
Hey, there's parts. There's parts of Omaha that are almost not even anywhere near. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no taco truck in Omaha.
The
shrimp in the taco probably came from some outfit. It's a hepatitis taco.
Yeah, people tacos. See, you know, these things. Yes, if I'm sitting on the side, stuck in traffic. Yes, this is just the way of life out here. But I just, at least if I want to, I can go and get me a deep fried shrimp taco. I can, you know, there's today for breakfast. You know what I had for breakfast this morning, Bob?
Do tell.
A bandigas soup with homemade tortillas.
Shut up. You know, stop it. No, you just quit. I'm gonna overtalk you.
And also with that, I decided to get frijole and queso quesadilla with this Mexican restaurant. See, I'm making a list of the places I'm going to take you when you finally bring your happy tail ass out here.
Well, you have an invitation. Carol Baker just said Tracy can move to Missouri, Stan. She'd fit right in here at the Burning Cross Trailer Park or the Ballerina right. Swan Lake Mobile Home and Country Club.
Well, actually, you know, my folks are from my grandmother and my father is from Jefferson City, Missouri.
See, getting back to your roots.
Not happening. I mean, I've never been to Missouri.
Fuck a bunch of roots, right? Yeah.
Roots. Well, see, according to that, my family came. The West, we got Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Jefferson City, Missouri, and Shreveport, Louisiana. So I've been to Louisiana, but I've never been to Arkansas or to Missouri.
Misery, yeah, no.
I've always wanted to go because I've wanted to, you know, and this is when I hear about, like, when back to those idiots talking about my man Colin, about all the things, you know, how fortunate I should be and happy that I'm, you know, I should be a happy Negro in these here United States. And I think about the fact that, you know, I know nothing about my grandparents and my great-grandparents' history. You know why, Bob? Because wherever happened to them, wherever they, in those garden states of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Missouri, it was so traumatic that they never talked about it. So I have no idea about where my family is in any of those states or, you know, anything about their lives while living in those states. Why? Because they didn't just pick up and leave. Oh, you know what? We want to change the scenery. More than likely, they were running for their lives. And they knew that if they stayed there to raise their families in those states, that their children, especially their sons, would probably not live to see adulthood. Why? Because they're black.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when I hear these folks talking this shit, I was driving, you were playing, doing the playback, and I'm sitting here with my elbow, you know how you sit when you're stuck in traffic, your elbow's on the window, you know, and then you have one finger holding up your head, and you're thinking, because you're going, this cannot be real. These people cannot be serious. But they are, Bob, they are. And they just... They
oh, sure they are. Joe Theismann was serious. Brian Kilmeade was serious. The Hannity job was serious. There's all kinds of serious. Okay. Tracy, they are deadly serious, okay?
And that's what they don't get. When they say stuff like this, they don't really, you know, they are in fact inciting more violence against black people. They are definitely putting a hit out on that man.
I think so. But that's okay with them.
Because
what they're trying to do is, in typical fascist fashion, they are trying to enforce and preserve their privilege through fear.
Right.
You know, that's the way fascism works. Don't raise your head up. Don't raise a ruckus. Don't complain. And we won't kill you.
Well, I saw a tweet. I don't know why I was even on Twitter. And his brother retweeted going, really, what? And it was by some institute, some right-wing think tank probably, about, you know, how black people own slaves and how this and, you know, and that black souls, if slavery existed for 1,000 years. And then they, you know, all listing all the things that black people did because of slavery and all that. And then at the end, America ended chattel. It was because of America that chattel slavery ended.
And yet, you know, and yet, hey, I'm gonna perpetuate something we've had going on in the past. I'm gonna go over to the stress line, where waits Todd.
It's gonna be the TNT show.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Tracy and Bob, are you there?
Hey.
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, Todd. Can you hear us?
What do you
have? I can hear you, barely.
I'm trying to be, you covered, Tracy.
Oh, wow.
Covered,
is it my phone or is it his?
No, you're real, real faint, Todd. Hang on.
Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes. There you are.
Okay. Yeah,
you're about to run into somebody. Here's my right back. What did you say? I'm sorry.
That was not direct.
I was just wondering.
That was not directed at you, Todd. I suspect that was directed at another motorist.
Another driver who was going to hit me and basically called me an asshole. And I'm like, well, you know, people do not understand. Just because you're trying to get over, I'm in the lane. This is, you know, my area right here. Just because you decide that you want to get over, not my problem. If you hit me, then we're going to have a problem. And so he was flipping me off, and I just told him to kiss my black ass. So go ahead, what?
No, I can imagine you're an excellent driver.
A little road rage for the Warren family. Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
You covered a lot of bases. I mean, I don't know if you follow sports or not.
I don't.
Okay, well, I'm a mediocre type of sports type fan, but you see, this I have to go back to this nonsense because I'm a little bit pissed the fuck off. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Uh oh. Did he say he's pissed at you?
No, I don't think at me. No.
Okay.
Listen. Nobody. First of all, you know me. I'm C-SPAN in the morning, right? Washington Journal. That's where you get the pulse of America. You hear all the trolls, all this bullshit. But it's real. I mean, it is what it is. This is where we are, right? Now, these people calling in. This one asshole said, well, don't worry about it. A linebacker will break Kaepernick's. He sounds like that astronomer.
Yeah, Kaepernick. Astronomer. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not funny, but it is funny. Yeah, so anyway, he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. Some linebacker will take care of him and break his legs. But you know something? I remember a whole lot of us, we stopped doing the Pledge of Allegiance back in the 70s because we knew it was fucking bullshit. You know, it's just, it didn't apply to us.
Well, and I was going to mention that, Todd, because there has been another period in time when people stopped, at one point in time, I think it was primarily with regard to Major League Baseball. They considered just not doing the national anthem anymore because nobody was paying attention.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that and that and that ran, if I recall, that ran sort of parallel with the American flag being associated with, say, a million innocent plus civilian deaths in, you know, Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos.
Folks started coming back saying, yeah, we're all there. We weren't supposed to be there. Right. Exactly. So, right. You know, we're around the same age. Yeah. We all are the same age. Yeah. So, you know, that's just some fucking bullshit. So, and the thing is, the commissioner of the NFL, according to what I read in the today, you know, he said, well, it's nice, but it's not mandatory. Right. You don't have to do it. So, this is just a bunch of crotchety old white people, and they're still pissed off. Nobody talked about how much players make until black people start making money. And I'm just going to be honest. That's crazy. You understand what I'm saying, right?
No, America cheered when Babe Ruth got to the point where he made $1,000 a week. He was the highest paid payer in baseball, and he made $52,000 a year.
Woo-hee!
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's great, you know. And they didn't like it when Jack Johnson, the boxer, he was making a lot of money, you know, prorated.
Yeah, they took care of him.
Prorated. Oh, yeah, they did him dirty.
Well, look what they did to the earning power of Muhammad Ali at the height of his prowess.
Now, exactly. Look, history has proven that Muhammad Ali is a true American hero because he was right, and he was right. He was right. So, I'm just really, and Bob, what you are, I came in 25 minutes into your filibuster. However, I was really liking what you were saying. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I'm quite sure that Tracy would make a nice dinner and send it to you, but it was just so good. And,
what? As a black woman, it sickens me to the pit of my stomach. Like I said, I've been having many meltdowns. And I've had a really high stress and anxiety level for the last few weeks. And, you know, it is just when I hear stuff like this, or like, you know, what those people are saying, it does not help with my stress because, see, it's their justification for being ridiculous. And they do not, I mean, and they know. And see, this is what pisses me off is that they act like, oh, we don't realize what you, you know. No, you know exactly what you say. At what point do we figure out and say, this is hate speech? Damn the First Amendment. Not even damn the First Amendment. But there has to be something done. There has to be consequences. It's those same people. You hear when it's a Muslim shoot, you know, radicalized Muslims and radicalized this. Where about the Christians?
Well, I mean, was anybody surprised that Hannity unilaterally declared Colin Kaepernick a Muslim now? You know, because ain't no Muslims love Merck.
But right? This is about black men are not supposed to have beer. See, that's the point. I learned that the hard way. Right, I have a beard, right, and I didn't even know that's what it meant.
Wait a minute. Wait, does that mean I'm a Muslim too? Because the imam's going to be real hot with me over that pulled pork sandwich I had the other day.
Did you have a side of bacon? That's a shrimp.
Damn right.
And the pork? Wait, the ribs?
Yeah.
I was swining and dining, and I have pork on my folk. What did I make the other day? candy.
And the secret,
ridiculous. The
secret repetitious visits to Wiggling Pig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
compare and contrast all of this. I don't have cable or anything, but I get to watch NFL games on my phone. So I'm watching the Chargers and the Vikings yesterday, and you know the preseason, so it's pretty well meaningless. It was just kind of background. It was just the lovely background noise of a Sunday afternoon. But one of the Fox announcers started waxing rhapsodic over the way that Philip Rivers coaches his daughter's seventh grade girls basketball team.
Who are these people? Who are you talking about? See, remember, not a sports person.
Philip Rivers, from Athens, Alabama, played at North Carolina State. He's the starting quarterback of the San Diego Chargers. And gets a lot of press for what a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Roman Catholic he is. But, you know, not that big a deal as a quarterback, really. Yeah, but, he couldn't say enough about how, you know, Philip Rivers... the sun rises and sets out, because he coached a girls' seventh grade basketball team.
We doggy. Isn't that what you're supposed to do if you're a dad?
Well, I mean, sure, it is, but, you know.
So what's the big deal? Those are those things you're supposed to do as a parent.
So listen, Trace. See, Bob just touched on something. I'm just, like you said about sports. I don't know. Like I said, I'm like medium to low key on sports. But however, I'm trying to remember the first black quarterback in the NFL, and it was not that long ago. I mean, when 50 years old, it wasn't that long ago. Okay, I don't think it was that long ago, and that was a big deal.
How many black quarterbacks have there been?
Oh, there've been quite a few now.
Now.
I mean, Doug Williams was the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think.
Was it Cunningham?
No, that was Doug Williams. With the Skins. The Washington Football Club.
Yeah, the Washington Football Club.
Yeah, I refuse
to say. See how easy it is.
You guys just got to the root of the fucking problem. People cannot identify what is offensive. When somebody says something offensive, that means it's fucking offensive. It's not what you think is offensive.
No. Right. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And The right wing outrage machine you have always with you, okay? If they weren't going to be outraged about Colin Kaepernick, they'd find something else to be outraged about.
Except for Melanoma Trump's ass all over the internet.
Did you just say?
I mean, it's like Steve said a little bit ago. The right wing has a monopoly on drilling for crocodile tears. It's their stock in trade and goes right along with their persecution complex.
I got a persecution. Again, it's just...
Yeah, I know. Persecute this, right?
You know, y'all want some persecution? I cannot. Like you said, it's these damn crocodiles. And this feigned outrage, you know, it's like if they got to figure something up to get people at a fever pitch, just to get them all hot and bothered and all that, just over whatever perceived slight some person of color did, because you're not a true American because you don't love America. But if you loved America, you'd stand up for the national anthem. But see, here's the thing: I do love America. I love it This is my country. I was born here. My family, I can trace back at least 7 generations. Okay? We're talking back into slavery.
But see, that's something that's how powerful it is. You can pick and choose, right? Like, apparently this guy, Copernic, I can't say his name correctly. However, he thought about it. He knew he was in a position to either do something big or do nothing at all. And that's what he chose to do. And I think that's a wonderful thing, right? If nobody speaks up, nothing happens. If you don't do shit, guess what happens? Nothing happens. You have to make a stand.
Well, this again, the only time that anything really is going to happen when the people who, nothing really is going to change until the people who have nothing to lose are outraged.
Well, but these are good efforts, Tracy, Todd, because at least in my estimation,
they are
compelling us toward a national conversation that we desperately do. Well, not we, but that a great deal of white America desperately does not want to have.
Because then they would have to.
And it's a larger conversation too, because at the same time that we're talking about the Colin Kaepernick thing, the protests continue in North Dakota over that godforsaken pipeline that's going to carry nasty ass Bakken crude, supposedly, to Illinois. I don't know if you saw this or not, but over the weekend the news broke that they started breaking ground and digging trenches and trying to lay that damn pipeline before the Army Corps of Engineers had ever issued an easement for them to do it. And to this day, that easement does not exist. But the oil company said, fuck it, we don't need no laws. We don't need no stinking laws. We're the oil company. And so it turns out that the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and the Crow and the Anishinaabe and the Apache, who are all standing with them, and their white allies and their black allies, were all right. It ain't supposed to be built. And so Native peoples, Native cultures, are compelling this country toward the conversation that one of these days it absolutely must have. Now I'm gonna throw a little wrinkle into it, and I'll say this: we had better, by God, have that conversation sooner rather than later, because it is not a conversation that white America wants once white America is no longer a majority population.
Exactly.
And that's not. I mean, I'm not prophesying any sort of doom or gloom, but you get.
Why not?
Well, I mean, because I want to think that the people who have been oppressed for so long are not just going to turn around and work it in reverse.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the oppressed lots of time become the oppressor. And I'm hoping, and I hope the same too, Bob, that we, as you know, people of color who have been oppressed since we stepped foot on these shores, and for those who were here before, you know, anybody paler than them came along, I hope that we have enough dignity and sense and respect and all that, that we can say, you know what, y'all did us so dirty, and we, by rights, could just, you know, if we ever got the numbers or whatever, by rights you just want to wipe your asses off the face of the earth. But we're not. We're going to take the higher ground.
Yeah, I mean, I have no urge whatsoever to go and live in Scotland. Nice place, I guess, but, you know, I mean,
you mean you don't want to go all hang out with a kilt on there, Bob? No?
I don't want to eat anything that's been cooked in a sheep's stomach, okay? I just don't.
That's just nasty.
Why can't these people wake up? This is now we all remember the movie Waterworld. This is where we're coming to. Now look at this. We have to buy water now. We have to buy potable water. We have to buy water that's safe to drink now. A lot of people, okay? Because we cannot trust our water. unless you have enough money to get water tested, you really got to be careful. If you have children, because remember, an ad builds up in your system. You don't get rid of it. It just builds up, okay? So they're talking about building a pipeline. Everyone knows if pipelines did not leak, plumbers would not be in business. It's that fucking simple.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it's really that fucking simple. And they're talking about building this shit during rip. The
Oklahoma,
come on.
Now, and how many jobs is this pipeline supposed to be creating there, Bob?
Oh, umpty bajillion, I'm sure. I mean, that's the same old crap they put out every time. Ah, you know, there's going to be 400 bajillion jobs out of this. Blah, 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 blah. And it's a lie, of course.
You know what? This is the new 60s, because we have there's a whole lot of serious social and environmental issues that are coming. This is like a big fucking pimple. Right now, social, economic, and economic and eco issues are coming to a head right now. This is serious because if we start polluting our water,
I'm sorry, it's racial out here. Like where I'm driving through right now, is I'm in on creeping on the 5, trying to get to the 17. I'm in East LA. Great taco. Shut up. But in these, you know, like when we had that big old thing, you know, last year and all that about the gas leak over in Porter Ranch, which is, of course, very affluent part of, you know, San Fernando Valley, you know, medium income, at least, you know, mid to high six figures, all that. And, of course, as soon as they started complaining, it got shut. The gas company was there. The stuff was shut down. Meanwhile, in Southgate and other communities of color,
crickets.
There's, you know, crickets, because, you know, it's just brown folks. They've been waging a war against, finally, I think they finally did something about it. But there's a battery plant pumping toxins in the air. And let's not forget about the power lines and stuff like that, the cancer clusters.
You've got that.
Ugly head in every aspect of this country when it comes to brown people.
That's the essence of the intersection between between racial justice, social justice, and environmental and economic justice. They all come together every time some huge corporation wants to act in haste and repent in leisure, and put some noxious project through, and it never ever goes through a wealthy neighborhood. There's a parallel to that, of course. The concealed carry law has gone into effect in Texas now. So,
awesome.
Yeah, great. But here's the fun thing. It only applies to state schools. It only applies to state universities in Texas. So the University of Texas, that liberal bastion that the Texas legislature so thoroughly despises, well, they've got to allow concealed carry on their campus, but Southern Methodist University, Baylor, Rice, Texas Christian, no, those are private schools, so they can ban concealed carry. And guess what? Every last one of them has. Ain't going to be no concealed carry at Baylor Baptist University. Southern Methodist not going to have any concealed carry. What are you, crazy?
Uh-huh. At what school was it that they're like, okay, well, if you want to have open concealed carry and stuff and all this and does on campus, we're going to start bringing dildos to class?
Oh, that was University of Texas.
Okay. It's okay. Fine.
I mean, the University of Texas is an architecture school. Was turned into a nationally recognized, nationally respected school of architecture by this, I can't remember his name now, the dean that they brought in, and he did that over 15 years, and they passed concealed carry, and he said, I am out of here.
I'm out. I'm done.
And you know what? I don't think he was unemployed for 2 days.
Oh, no.
Because a respectable institution outside Texas went, come here.
See, and he's probably making more money. You know,
wow, that seems out of control because any psychologist will tell you, any reputable person who has any kind
of... It takes my mom because, you know, she lives in Vietnam. And she's like, it drives her crazy when she walks into Wally World and she sees these fools with the gun. She's like, Walmart. What do you need to go to Walmart for?
Oh, I know. I was down to Rippy Mart the other night, and I watch my mouth because I don't want to get killed. But dude comes in and gets like a 6-pack of Bush Light, but he's got to have a 9mm Freedom Protector on his hip, just in case the ISIS decides to come and impose Sharia law and keep him from drinking Bush Light.
Oh God. Wow. Oh, God. When I think about the idiots, again, don't care if you have a gun. You know what? Whatever. If you need. But I still don't understand why you need an AK-47 to hunt Bambi. Or automatic weapon to go duck hunting. Wouldn't 100 rounds or whatever obliterate a duck?
Hey, 5 rounds out of a 12-gauge duck gun there's not going to be anything but a wafting cloud of feathers. Blam, 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 blam. Yeah. It's bad enough when you're sitting when you're sitting there eating Daffy going, this is real good, and you're spitting out shot. I mean, that just comes with the turf. By the way, Steve in New York tells me Bush Light. We call that water in New York City.
It is.
Clarence, meanwhile, with a note says, America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of 1,000 disguises. A quote from the black activist rap group of the 60s and 70s. The elites of America live and breathe in a perpetual diet of lies, deception, and racial division. Amen to that. Hey, quick update. I want to thank Rico and Carol and Jenny I want to thank Carol and Jenny for responding to Rico's call for contributions to the horn as he worries about his beloved. Thanks very kindly to Tom out in the Bay Area who just said $50 in the mail tonight. Subject line was "Wallop the Swede," because you know the Beat the Swede challenge is on. Wallop the Swede. Tom says for years there was a boat on the bay named Walloping Swede. So here's some help with the walloping. So all told, that takes us down to. Let me do the math real quick.
Don't do it, Bob. Don't do it. Don't do it. Your brain will explode.
178.52 to go to get out of the hole this evening. 178.52 because Snork found a gift card laying around that had $1.48 on it, and kicked that in. Thank you, Snork. Thank you very kindly. Because you know I loves me some ciphering in the middle of the program. So 178.52.
That is great news.
So we're getting there. We're getting there.
Hey Bob, I have a question. Speaking of fundraising.
Yes, ma'am.
So are you still doing the whole thing with the rice?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I add it, because I said 60, so if I add 40, can I go ahead and get the 2 pounds?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, then throw 40 in that figuring.
Oh God. Okay, so 138.52. 138.52, and yeah, I didn't mention that earlier. The wild rice offer is still on the table. $100 contribution gets a kind gift of 2 pounds. 60 gets you a gift of a pound. And the first order is already out, but there will be a second order. So. Just let me know, you know.
Bob, let me ask you a question about an offer.
Okay.
Now, in my area, in the pig here, we have something called Jane's Crazy Salt. Do you have that at your Wiggling Pig?
Jane's Crazy Salt?
Yes.
No.
Oh, that was awesome.
No.
All right, let me explain.
It's awesome. I have some.
Oh, wait, Tracy, you know of it?
Yeah, I actually in my three level. I have a rolling thing that I keep between my stove and the counter, and it's three. It's a rolling cart with three shelves full of seasoning.
Well, this seasoning comes out. It originates in South Carolina, right? I never had it before I moved here. But let me tell you, and I'm a long, like you're a long practitioner of word knowing, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm a long practitioner of gluttony. And I'm gonna tell you, this particular seasoning is excellent on all types of vegetables, especially corn and like baked potato. Now, the salt is not just regular salt. Imagine salt that is like a freeze dried coffee. In other words, it's like they have just dissolved the salt and then freeze dried, so that as soon as it gets wet, it just dissipates and expands. And it's mixed with herbs, okay? This seasoning is amazing on a baked potato, and it's amazing on corn. I mean, now I'll get back to you on this, but I'm willing to set a four pack. I've been thinking about this because this is how good the seasoning is on certain vegetables. I mean, if you need this, if you like to eat, you need this in your spice.
And it's vegetarian, right? So it's I mean, there's no.
Oh, it's kosher. It's kosher. Yeah. Now, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm just saying.
No, but I'm saying for people who like their vegetables and stuff and don't want any freeze-dried,
right. Yeah. No. But the reason I brought that up is that because it's not like grainy or salt, like out of your shaker. It's flaked. It do something special. This is different. I wouldn't have brought it up. This is different. And I would not have brought it up if it wasn't different. This is special. This shit is special. And maybe I'll get to you through via email or whatever, but I want to work this out because there's something I can do. So I'm just putting it out there. I'm telling you, everybody I've turned this on to, on a baked potato, it will change the way you eat a baked potato.
Now I'm looking at it here. It says they're out of New Jersey, Todd.
Would you repeat that, please?
I just looked them up. Says they're out of New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I don't know. On the label, it says Rich something, South Richford or someplace in South Carolina. But I know I didn't. I never had it before I moved here, right? But it is really amazing. And
I use it when I bake potatoes on the when I do it on the grill. You know, I do the olive oil and butter, and then I season the out the skin with the James Crazy Salt and fresh brown pepper.
Mm-hmm. Well, this particular seasoning, when you do your... Yeah, that's how I do my baked potatoes also. You know, you put a little oil on the outside, blah, blah, blah. But when you put the butter on the inside and put this particular seasoning on the potato, the meat of the potato, and also on corn, like, literally, I've eaten a bushel of corn with this. With butter, I've literally eaten a bushel corn. This shit is Irish. It's amazing. All right, apostrophe amazing. I mean, seriously. I'm just trying to get. You know, I'm a foodie, man. I get it out there. I'm trying to do. And I don't play with food. And you know, believe it or not, I'm in the Southern Appalachian right now. I'm in this. I had to take somebody up here. I'm in the middle of, I'm near Asheville right now. And they have some interesting food up here. But,
Where do you live, Todd?
Todd's in South Carolina, Stan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'm on the road right now.
Where in South Carolina? How far are you from Charleston?
Oh, wait.
Because Jerry, and we haven't done a road trip in a while, and we are thinking about, well, it probably won't be until June, because my one of my nieces is graduating from high school in Atlanta. So we're thinking about doing our cert, you know, going out there and doing how we did, you know, doing that about 3-4 years since we've been out there and, you know, do the drive, and, you know, start in Atlanta and work our way down. And
absolutely. I'm right off of
I really enjoy, so. I love Charleston and I love Savannah. Jan didn't like Savannah, but she really liked Charleston.
Huh? Everybody, Charleston is the shit. You know, if you're a real person, if you go to Charleston and you don't have a nice time, there's something wrong with you. It really
we had
is
a Charleston. Great time.
See, and that's the, you know, that's the disconnect. That's the dichotomy of the South, because there's so much wrong and at the same time so much right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean. Like I said, we wanted, you know, she didn't, we went to New Orleans, she got sick, so she really couldn't enjoy New Orleans. So we won't do it this year because, it'll be, we want to do our first Christmas in the house, so we're going to do the whole Christmas tree and,
oh yeah,
woo 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 woo. But I love parts of the South. I can visit the South. I can spend time in the South, you know, because like I said, when Jan and I drive, when we go, we're down there for at least a week, visiting various and sundry places. But again, I just can't wrap my head around the politics of the South. And I know I told
you
all the time at one.
Tracy, let me tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this as a transplant. I'm gonna tell you this. This is straight up. Now they prefer the South is interesting because they will prefer somebody who is not from the North. Like they really don't like Yankees still here. Period. They really don't.
Yeah, they ain't
got
over that shit yet.
But you know what? At the same time, if you break down on the road, like I was in a ditch one time, and this dude with a Confederate flag on his truck, he had a winch on the front of his fucking truck, and he pulled me out of this ditch. And I looked at his truck, and I just couldn't believe it. And I was like, I was ready to give him $30. He's like, no. He wouldn't take any money. See, it's just, it's like you said, it's a dichotomy, man. It's just all fucked up, man. But that's why we have to concentrate on what brings us together, but at the same time of identifying the fucked up shit, the terrible things, you know. And we're in a good place and a bad place. Another dichotomy. Now we got this fascist weirdo, this walking cauldron of mental illness, who is, you know, very close to a high office, and you know it's strange. We're in a strange place, but we can make this a good thing if we really work.
I look at like I said, my mom moved down to North Carolina from here, and she had to get the talk of where she could go as a black person. And she's like, you know, but then again, like she says, she has met some of the nicest, bigoted rednecks ever. It is the craziest thing. Like you said, the man drove up with his Confederate flag on his truck and pulled you out of a ditch. And you're probably still scratching your head on that one. And, you know, but then again, then my mother, who was, when she first moved out there, she was doing in-home health care. And, of course, she ran across a couple of, you know, the people that were not wanting her to give them health care because, you know, she's black. And, you know, it's just some things, it's like, wow.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, right now, I'm outside of Asheville, North Carolina, right now, and this is a nice area. It's beautiful, like these mountains, man, and it's nice, the water, and it's very nice. It's nice, but, you got people from different areas.
Well, this would be a good time to remind people again that there is an awesome progressive candidate running against Joe Uli Wilson.
Uli?
Yeah, down there in South Carolina. and he's a personal friend of the program, Eric Bjorn, A-R-I-K-B-J-O-R-N. His website
Born
is
to run.
Bjorn to Run, B-J-O-R-N, the numeral 2, R-U-N, bjorntorun.com. And what an upset that would be. That would be an upset of such monumental proportions that, I don't know, Joe Scarborough might spontaneously die.
Well,
one can only hope.
A lot of people, and you know what, Bob, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking about political, because I know, and like I heard you last week, and Tracy, I heard you making that damn salad. You made me hungry as shit. When you were making that salad, chicken fingers, and you were making a salad, and I was like, damn, that was making me hungry.
Oh, they were good, too.
You know, you're making it for your wife, or whoever, your family, you know. But also, it made me think about the politics of what's going on, because, you know, like, there's a good thing about an open primary, because you can play defense, right? This is what we have to do. This is what we're doing now. We're playing defense. But, I mean, in my opinion right now, I don't, you know, HRC, Hillary, she's not clean, but guess what? She's looking more presidential by the day compared to this weirdo, right? I mean, what choice do we have?
That's not a very high bar.
Can't gamble.
Setting, though, compared... I mean, my pet monkey, if I had a pet monkey, would look presidential next to Trump.
Exactly. I mean, this is like a no-brainer at this point. Plus the fact, he doesn't really... This is a scam for him. If you follow his history, if you track his history, this is just a... He got on late. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that he was late on board to understanding the scam. He had enough money to do this a couple of times. He should have done it before. But he got in money trouble, whatever, and he got some good tax attorney. I was like, oh, you know, this is what... Well, what's that evangelical guy's name? Huckabee? Yeah, he did it a few times. You know, if you got it's like a turnkey business. It's like a buying a franchise. If you get a McDonald's, if you got enough money to buy a McDonald's, you're guaranteed to make some money, period. You're going to make some money unless you're a dumbass, right? Running for president, if you have enough money to get into the race, you're going to make some money. This is about, that's why he's not releasing his taxes, because he's, you know, he has to have some tax write-offs.
I think he's not releasing his taxes because it has a bunch of Russian oligarchs in it, too, for one. For two, it will show that he is not nearly as rich as he says he is.
He claims to be.
That everything, you know, he's a paper billionaire.
Right.
And that would not, you know, that would not go hand in hand with his personally crafted image of what a wild success he is and what a winner he is, because in point of fact, he's a loser.
He's a loser. He is a loser. Exactly, Bob. That's exactly it. And why do you, I mean, and look at, come on, people, everybody, the three of us, we have seen that disgusting medical letter. That was written in his verbiage. That's how he talks. The dude just signed off on it. Donald Trump probably wrote that letter and just had the dude sign off on it. Who writes? No medical professional. Plus, he's an enterologist or a gastroenterologist. You know, he's not even a fucking chief general practitioner. He's not. He, the fuck is he? He's nothing.
Yeah, he'll be the healthiest president in the healthiest whitest president in the history of healthy white presidents. Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Delano Roosevelt, French FDR, is probably more healthy when he was stricken with polio than T-Rump would ever be. I just, when you hear the stuff that these people, when I saw that, it's like, oh, God, again. He is just, and okay, and then, you know, these family value people. How many times has Trump, he was married three times and five baby mamas? I mean, he got five kids by three different women. And one of them is a...
yeah, because, see, if that was a black dude...
Oh, hell.
You know, Barack Obama would come out and do some black-splaining. If Cosby wasn't up to his ass in alligators, you know, he'd do some splaining, and by the way, let me say that that's the one thing I hope does not happen. I do not want to see Barack Obama enter the Colin Kaepernick kerfuffle.
Oh.
Just don't need it.
Don't do it. Don't say a word.
So what are you saying? Don't stay. Don't step in it.
No, because there's no way to win.
No way.
All right. Since you brought that up,
he's a lame duck president. You know what? I'm thinking he's finally realizing. It's like, I don't have to deal with. I got how many more months?
Well, yeah, he's all out of to give, but that doesn't that doesn't mean that there's not some potential for damage here. And I just don't.
We don't
need Barack Obama to come out and you know, call out Colin Kaepernick over the national anthem because
you mean calling him out? He better not.
Yeah,
he better not. I swear to God.
You know what? I would love to see Barack Obama. This is a big career move. I would love to see him do a late night show and he can interview all these people he used to work with, and they can come on or not come on and have celebrities because his he is a comedian. His timing is perfect. The press roast that he has every year. I'm forgetting the exact name of what it is, but you know what I'm talking about. I hope.
Yeah.
The
Washington. The course. Well, the last one of those has already passed by. So, the White House Correspondents'
Right, exactly.
Dinner.
He had his last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is so good at that. I mean, he is really, really. I mean, that's his thing. He you know, you can see he just. He's trying to let his hair down there. He wants to have some fun, and fuck the assholes. You know, I mean, he's not perfect, but you know, and like I said before, we don't have a real metric of what he could have done because he never had a Congress that would work with him. I mean, they went in from day one saying they were going to block everything, even if they agreed to it in the beginning, they were going to block everything.
And see, if you were watching, if you happened to catch the Sunday shows or the clips thereof, guys. You got a little hint of more of the same coming. And you know, just remember, I have January the 24th, 2017, as the date on which the House impanels its special select committee on investigations and because Hillary. Nobody else can have January 24th.
When is the inauguration?
January the 20th.
Okay.
Just after inauguration. That's the day after inauguration.
I think that's the first day they're in session after the inauguration.
Because
the damn thing's all drafted up and ready to go. You know that. You know, the enabling paperwork.
It's going to be
annoying as shit. Here's my prediction for how it plays out. Yes, we get the Senate back. No, we don't have a veto-proof majority. We might gain a little bit of ground in the House of Representatives, but again, we will not take the House back. And so that means that there will not be enough votes to get a Supreme Court justice confirmed. No matter whom Hillary Clinton appoints.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. Now, listen, I've been doing a little bit of research. Let me tell you something. This guy that Obama was trying to nominate, he's not clean. This dude is kind of to the right, if you ask me.
Yeah. Hello. I mean, Barack Obama was he triangulated on him. He gave him somebody that if a Republican handed it to them, they would be making messes of themselves talking about what a great and patriotic, magnificent, brilliant jurist he was.
He's daily shopping them up with a biscuit.
Yeah, there we go.
How about that?
No, not good at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but the guy. Yeah, he's center right at best. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Merrick Garland ain't.
You know, I'm very disappointed in this. I just this whole projection thing. I don't know what the Republican Party seems to be really versed in projection, and I'm including Donald Trump now, even though he's not really he's nothing. He's Donald Trump. He's not even he has no ideology. He's all about him. Like I said, he's a walking cauldron of mental illness. It doesn't matter. He's a sociopath. However, what I'm saying is that there's no rudder. Like they project, and Donald Trump has picked up on that. Like the things he says, all the shit that he says about other people, that's what he does. You know, and he's like, oh, I'm the white guy who I'm just getting shit on, and you know, the white male is just, oh, we're so persecuted, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. Oh, so feel pity for me. I'm like, I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry for you. Oh. Now, what the fuck?
Donald Trump makes narcissists look like freaking Gandhi, for God's sakes.
I don't. But you see, but you know what? It's a in a way. I have to try to make lemonade now at this point in my life because. It shows us the work that we have to do, because we have to do a lot of work. Because I mean, it's not even Trump. It's not Trump. It's not. I hate to say his name. It's not the mental illness guy. It's about the people that are following him. It's about the failure of our educational system. It's about the failure of our media. Look at our media. You know what? This is where I'm going to say this one thing. Press TV out of Iran, right? They like to talk about, oh, well, they're in Al Jazeera, right? Well, they're, you know, they've got their slant and their prejudice. But wait a minute. The defense contractors own all our media. The CIA has been infiltrated ever since Project Mockingbird and all our media, right? So we have no grounds to say anybody else has propaganda going out with the media. Because these old people, and like Bob, you say, what, Marvelline and her
audience? Oh, Emery and Marvelline, you know, yeah. Sitting there in their matching Barca loungers, yeah.
Yeah.
I said something about that when I said Marvelline and Emery, and I said sitting in the double wide with Emery and his beer staring wide feeder on and four teeth, in between, you know, shared between them. I thought my mother was going to cry. She laughed so hard.
I'm glad I could help. Oh, hey, little breaking news. According to KNBR, the San Francisco Police Officers Association is outraged at Colin Kaepernick and is demanding an apology.
To who, to why?
Because he hurt their feelings.
Oh, shit.
You know, because that nigger ought to be happy he's making the money he's making.
My feelings.
Yeah, because what Colin Kaepernick says is you have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. Someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun or going out on the street to protect us.
What?
To which the San Francisco Police Officers Association President Martin Halloran responded, well, he didn't address the psychological and emotional challenges of police officers after they kill somebody in the line of duty.
Say what?
Perhaps Mr. Kaepernick could comment on the murder of 40 police officers in the United States in the past few months, or the assaults perpetrated on over 100,000 law enforcement officers in the past year. Perhaps he could lend his commentary to the over 8,000 murders that African Americans inflicted on one another.
Oh, God, the black-on-black crime.
He went there.
Don't, please, Tracy, do not bring that up. That's a sort. If you think I'm cursing now, don't bring that shit up. Honest to God.
He went there.
I'm holding on tightly to the steering wheel as I drive.
Yeah.
I like when Bill Clinton went off on Black Lives Matter. Yeah, see, people seem to forget about that. you're defending the people who are killing each other. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, never a mention of white-on-white crime, of course.
No.
Of which there is a bunch.
A bunch. Just turn on cops. And go to a who lives in a trailer park in the Horn family?
They're out there. Listen, it is perfect. It is perfect. A house is a house is a house is a house in Merca.
Merca.
You got a roof over your head in Merca, you are ahead of the game. Especially if it is your roof.
And not that. Yeah.
But what I loved was his Halloran dude talking about the assaults on over 100,000 law enforcement officers. Now remember,
assault.
If you say, "What are you doing to me?" Remember, a police officer
that's
will
assault.
Then charge you with resisting arrest, and that constitutes an assault on an officer.
Assault.
Bringing a cold cup of coffee to a cop is assault on an officer in Merca.
Where did you draw that information from?
Well, no, I mean, resisting arrest is anything that a cop decides resisting arrest is.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. That's highly subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's designed to be that way. So that if you're a police officer and you got nothing else, you can always say that they crossed their eyes and made an ugly face at you, and that's resisting.
Well, I'm watching up on over the years, and they want to arrest somebody. So they run up on them or just touch the police officer. You accidentally walk past them and brush up against them. That's assault. So when you know, and I love how you said it, like you said, whatever number it was, assault, like you said.
Hey, you know what?
That's not to say that there aren't assholes out there. Up in Monongalia County, which is right by the Pennsylvania state line in West Virginia, where the university is. What are you laughing when I say the university?
That's Klan country, man. That's Klan country.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's almost Pennsylvania.
No.
Northern West Virginia is far more civilized than Southern, trust me. Over the weekend, Monongalia County Sheriff's deputies were forced to blow away an 82-year-old man.
Oh,
wait a minute. You said Monongahela. That's Pittsburgh area.
No, Monongalia. They misspelled the name of the county when they went to register it. No shit. The river is the
Monongahela.
The river is the Monongahela. It flows north to Pittsburgh, where it joins up with the Allegheny to form the Ohio. But the county is Monongalia, Monongalia, because they misspelled it when they registered it.
So then we go back to the educational system.
Yes, but the 82-year-old dude was in violation of a domestic violence order that his wife had filed against him. And he showed up at her house with a gun. She called the cops. The deputies showed up. And when they showed up, he said, "I'll shoot you." And they went, "No, you won't." And they shot him instead.
Say what?
They shot him instead.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He said, I'll shoot. And they went, "Oh, no, we'll shoot. Goodbye." And I'm guessing white guy.
Are you going to follow up some more Titanic Tuesday?
I don't know. I got some Titanic economics tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm a head scratcher. And I just, at what point is an 82-year-old man with a gun? If you're a trained police officer, you can't tell me that they couldn't have disarmed an 82-year-old man?
82-year-old hillbilly with a gun is a dangerous weapon.
Well, there is that.
Shoot out a squirrel's eye at 50 yards with a 22.
Okay, so you didn't say he was a hillbilly.
Well, I mean, he's a West Virginian. I mean,
I don't assume.
That is.
You have a church in the Lord.
And you are to be praised for that.
Because I grew up in South Central, assuming that I'm in a gay or was in a gay, or just being black, and that yes, I'm a single mom, and but because I'm at one point got AFDC welfare, whatever, that I have five baby daddies. My life is one. As soon as I walk into a room, the assumptions go flying. And that's just because of who I am. There's nothing I can do about that. But it does become annoying and so very exhausting. And I used to spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about what people thought of me and wanting to make sure I was one of the good ones, like, Sean Hannity. And those assholes referred to, because if I had been raised, well, I was raised by black parents. So, my whole life up until I was in my, late 20s, pretty much until my late 20s, early 30s, I concentrated on being one of the good Negroes. The ones that don't make any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't speak out and speak truth to power. And then I wised up, thanks my first true black history class, and realizing this, who I am and what I have to offer. And it's just like, so there's been a whole lot of, screw you. And a whole lot of, like I said, the day I was born, I came out butt first. I was a breech baby. And that's the reason why I am quick to say kiss my black ass, because the first thing that the world saw was my black ass. I came folded in half. So it's just, I had to claim that power. But it's just, people assume, because I have my hair in lock, automatically assume that I smoke weed. No.
No. You're black. So people automatically assume you smoke weed. Good connections too.
Oh yeah, I get that all the time because I've gotten people that got in my cab, assuming that I knew where to buy drugs, and this guy's like, one, and I'm like, I had no idea where to go buy drugs, and so when I said, well, what do you expect for me to do? Walk up to the next person of color that I see and say, excuse me, kind sir, pray tell, could you please, could I inquire as to where I could purchase some crack cocaine?
As Richard Pryor noted on with regard to Leon Spinks, 50 cents worth of cocaine melt before you get the paper open.
I don't smoke crack. I don't smoke weed. And the only reason why I don't smoke weed, because weed would do so much for my pain, is because even though I can get a medical marijuana prescription, because I live in the state of California.
You drive a cab.
Right. And I get random pee tests. And because I get random pee tests, and the pee tests are run by who? The Department of Justice or whoever, who does it, whatever.
And yet there's no indication that's a whole different can of worms. Hey, by the way, a couple of quick thank yous. Thank you to Smitty. We are now down to $128.52 to go for fundraising on the evening. It would be awfully nice to get all the way out of the hole so that we've only got $400 to go to beat the Swede. I like beating the Swede, I admit it. It's just a funny thing with me.
Well,
but,
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
No. So that's there. 128.52 to go fundraising-wise this evening. Jenny just said, I've enjoyed the conversation so much tonight. She said, I'm about to enter a live fantasy football draft. Kaepernick's going to be my first pick. Ha, 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 ha. That may not work out too well, Jenny, because there's a lot of scuttlebutt out there. After Joe Theismann said that he didn't see him getting cut, there's a lot of scuttlebutt out there saying that Colin Kaepernick is going to get cut. And not to be too weird about this, but did you notice that where previously he'd had this whole clean cut thing going for him, that he kind of picked his hair out and had a natural going for him?
Love it.
Don't think for a minute that doesn't turn him into a scary black man.
Look at Bob talking about a natural. Oh my God!
What?
Well, look. I'm just mad that my hair was never really thick enough to hold a decent fro. Okay, I mean I have wisps of hair now. Speaking of wispy hair, did you give your props? I don't know because I missed the beginning of the show. About, you know, Gene Wilder passing away.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned Richard Pryor a minute ago, and I was just thinking, it's moments like that that you really do want to believe in a heaven where our consciousnesses remain, you know, intact, because you just want to think that, you know, Gene got up there, his memory was back, he went and found Gilda, they were so happy to see each other, and then he said, come on, let's go find Richard.
Because
they were pals.
And let's go find Cleavon Little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said you were home.
And Zero Mostel. And it, I mean, wouldn't it be cool if that was real?
That would just be...
Wait a minute. I've heard of the horse whisperer, but not a horse puncher.
May have something to do... And Alex Karras. Yeah, I mean... May have something to do with where Choo-Choo go.
Hey, Tracy, you need to get with the program. I'm telling you, the herbal remedy now, it's like, I don't know if you remember Brill Cream, but I was young, but the ad was like, a dab will do you. Guess what? That's the way, man. You get right
have,
with
have
it.
You ever seen, hey, Todd, have you ever seen the Frederick Douglass Afro Sheen ad?
Oh, no, yeah. That is
the coolest ad ever made, ever.
Well, I'm going to have to find out and put that on the Horn family page, because I tell you, it's like when I, you know, see, of course, you know, I grew up watching, you know, Soul Train and the Afro Sheen commercials, and that was like the only time there was one day of the week on Saturday morning or afternoons when Soul Train came on, that I'm like, it was so awesome to be black, because they showed my folks dancing, and they showed my I could do something with my hair.
I got it, Tracy. I got it.
Oh, God, please put that on the table. Oh, please.
You ready?
God,
you ready?
Yes.
Haven't you forgotten something? Say you were... Hey, aren't you Frederick Douglass? Yeah, we studied about you in school yesterday. About how you were a slave and how you took your own freedom, and then began to fight for freedom and dignity for all our people. Say, but what did I forget?
Are you going to go out into the world with your hair looking like that?
Well, Mr. Douglas, you know, times have changed. We wear the natural now.
You call that a natural? That's a mess. I've been watching the progress of our people, and I'm quite familiar with the natural. And I'm also aware that it is worn as an outward expression of pride and dignity. So haven't you forgotten?
Right. My Afro Sheen comb easy and hairspray for Sheen. You know, I can dig this getting my fro together.
My sentiments, almost exactly.
Well, how's this, Mr. Douglas? Mr. Douglas?
Hey, Bob.
Mr. Douglas disappeared.
Don't make me bring up Paul Mooney. Don't make me bring up Paul Mooney. See, I got you.
Now, I just love... I mean, it's like in that commercial, Frederick Douglass's hair is a line out of a Warren Zevon song. His hair was perfect.
He had the part, and it was like, like it had almost.
You couldn't tell where the hair ended and the beard started. I mean.
But you know,
I remember that commercial when I was a kid, and I'm just sitting there, like again, growing up, a little nappy-headed black girl watching Soul Train on Channel 11. I'm like, wow. It was just, again, you know, to grow up, it actually, you know, that's why seeing somebody like Michelle Obama, I cannot tell you what kind of role model she would have been for somebody, when I was a little girl. I kid you not. Not that I haven't aspired to be great or what have you, but I think I would have, there would have been somebody to look up to. Because again, I do my movie, my old school movies, and I was watching From Here to Eternity. And I'm watching, again, I love watching these movies just so I can say, there are no black people in Hawaii? And I'm like, oh yeah, the black people were there. They were in the back cooking and shining shoes and stuff like that. So it's that consciousness that you get as a black person as you start to look around and realize how this world, this country was not built for me or anybody that looked like me. Because again, we did not matter. We did our achievements, our color, nothing mattered. And you got to still in 2016, we got a brother that can throw a ball and run and all these things. And the only thing that these fool ass white folks can see is the nigga didn't stand up for the national anthem. How fucking dare he?
Wow.
But let's be fair. I don't think it's all white folks. And that's not me saying not all white folks. I'm guessing there are going to be some members of the monolithic black community who are not in agreement too.
But I don't stand up for the national anthem.
But by the same token, a little bit of props to ESPN for saying criticize what he did if you want, but don't say he ain't got a right to do it. And.
Absolutely.
Hey, we got to get out of here. Got to get out of here, you guys. It's been a lovely conversation. Titanic Tuesday tomorrow with some really fun math. Thanks, Tracy. Thanks, Todd. You guys have a great evening. A note on the way out the door. Jules just reminded me by email. Nicole Sandler goes in tomorrow for surgery to remove the lower lobe of her left lung and a wedgectomy of the upper lobe of the same lung. Cancer. So long as everything tests out at stage one, she may not need any further treatment. And that is our hope. Everybody, please send your positive energy and your healing vibes, prayers if you pray, love, thoughts, her way. So, indeed. And thank you for reminding me of that, Jules. It is time to get out of here. We will close the program, $128.52 in the hole. That means tomorrow, $328.52. A reminder, we have very, very few subscribers during the last days of the month. If anybody wants to jump in, it would be very much appreciated. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Everybody, all the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, our all-volunteer staff, thank you one and all. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.